Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mystify, God's Saltiest Women. I'm Pastor Rachel. I use pronouns like she, her, her.
I'm Gail Miller. I use any and all.
Amazing. And we are so excited to be together and to talk about some of God's saltiest women. I love it. All right, Gail, who are we talking about today?
Okay, so the one that we are doing today is St. Lucy or Santa Lucia.
Yes.
This one is very near and dear to my heart because I'm Swedish. I have Swedish on my mom's side. And back before you were here, back in the ancient times.
Before COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Of 2000. Oh my gosh. 2010.
2010 BC before COVID. Yeah. Like we can bring BC back. Yeah. Yeah.
We had Santa Lucia, like, we held Santa Lucia, like, sermons, I guess, or, yeah, like, I don't know,
like,
what they're
called.
It was, like,
a Christmas pageant, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pageants.
Yeah.
Pageants.
Yeah.
And I had the privilege of being little and Big Lucy. I think I was, Big Lucy right before it shut down.
Sure, yeah.
Due to COVID. And so she, just as a saint, is very near and dear to my heart. And she's really interesting because she has a lot of different stories about her from, like, different cultures and traditions and regions. Mm-hmm. She's a very complex character. And so I don't think I'll be able to do her justice, but I would sure like to try.
Totally fair. Let's try.
Let's try. Let's do it.
Let's jump into it.
So, Lucy was born in Syracuse, or what is now Sicily, Italy, mm-hmm. Which was a Greek colony for a hot second, and her dad was definitely Greek, and I think her mom was, like, maybe Greek, it's not confirmed. And she grew up very wealthy. She was, I don't remember, like, what her parents did, but I just know that she had a lot of money, even though her dad wasn't super in the picture. And about half a century earlier is when Saint Agatha was alive, right? Okay. And so Saint Lucy was like, wow, she's such a girl boss. Like, she, Saint Agatha is so slay. She just popped off. I'm gonna go visit her tomb. I wanna be inspired. I want to be around this positive, amazing leader. And so St. Lucy goes to visit St. Agatha's tomb. And during this period in her life, Lucy's mom is struggling with a chronic illness. I have read from a couple different sources that it was some sort of, like, blood disorder. Mm. And so her mom is very ill, and throughout their lives, they're trying to, like, figure out how to make their mom better. So when St. Lucy goes to visit St. Agatha's tomb, St. Agatha comes to Lucy in, like, this dream or vision or trance or just, like, out-of-body experience. And St. Agatha's like, so you're a Christian and you're super wealthy. What if you decided to take all of the money from your dowry and instead of getting married, devote your life to Christ mm-hmm. and use that money to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, you know, home the homeless? That would be, like, so cool of you, so rad. Yeah. Like, uh-huh. You'd be such a real one. And if you do that, I will make sure that your mom is taken care of, that she's healed, and she lives a good long life. What do you say? Mm-hmm. And St. Lucy's like, oh my god, you're such a real one. That would be so girly pop of you. Thanks.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. Right. So Lucy comes back and she, like, comes back home and she tries to convince her mom, like, I don't want to get married. I want to devote my life to Christ. Please just let me do this. You know, it'd be so sick. And her mom isn't convinced because her mom already signed her up for, like, the marriage market. She was already, like, I don't know how to say it other than, like, already put out there or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how marriages work back then, but anyway. So it took her mom a little bit of convincing, but finally her mom was like, all right, fine, whatever. You don't have to get married. You can use the money in your dowry for other things.
Sure.
Lucy, overjoyed, super happy about this, immediately goes out to lead and serve in the name of Christ. The men in her community who really wanted her money were not happy about this. They were very, like, disappointed, angry. They just wanted that bag, you know? So, in a fit of rage, they go to the governor, and they go and tattle. One, yeah, they go and tattle, which is so petty.
So not, I didn't know any of this about her. Yeah. Okay, please continue, sorry.
So her suitors, or whatever, or her potential suitors, go to the governor and tattle, like, Lucy's a Christian, and she's using her money willy-nilly, and, you know, she's irresponsible, and you need to, you know, teach her a lesson, whatever, whatever. And it's at this point where her story kind of splits off depending on where you're from, what you believe in, how you celebrate St. Lucy's Day. But it's around, like, the end of her life. But in all of the same stories, she winds up dying, unfortunately. But she dies very nobly in all of them. Some believe that when the government officials and the suitors came back, they tried to drag her away but with an oxen and light her on fire. And none of it worked because she's just that girl boss until they finally had to cut off her head. There are some who believe that right before she died, she had this, like, divine moment of intuition and talked about how, you know, Christianity in the near future was no longer going to be a minority and Christians could be free and believe in God without feeling ashamed of themselves. Some believe that she was, like, her divine moment of intuition was, like, her saying the governor is not actually going to be the governor for that much longer. His reign of power will come to an end soon. I know it. And that last one made the governor angry, obviously. So after she died, he gouged her eyes out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very, very rude.
Very rude. My goodness.
But when they were preparing her body for burial, her eyes were magically in one piece, still in her body, not tainted, touched, anything. That is actually how she became the patron saint of eyesight.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I've had glasses my whole life. I should have been praying to her for this whole time. Okay, now I know.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, that's the long and short of most of the stories of St. Lucy. The one that I personally grew up knowing, or, like, the closest version to it, because there's, like, there's so many, was actually the pagan version.
Oh, which, interesting.
Yeah. So, that one is, every December 13th, or, like, the night before, evil spirits would, like, come out of the ground and possess animals and try and break into people's homes. And so St. Lucy would wear her crown of light to protect other people, and herself and her family, and go try and, like, rescue people, bring them necessities, stuff like that. That is the version I grew up with. But
fascinating.
She is a very fascinating person to read about. She just inspires me every day. So that's the long and short of Santa Lucia.
Well, thank you for bringing all of that. Because I, see, silly me. So
silly you.
Silly me. I showed up to our recording today being like, I know the story of Santa Lucia. We're just going to record it so that other people know it.
Yeah.
But, like, I and my hubris, my and my ego was like, oh, I already know this one.
I already know this one.
Because I'm also Swedish, and, like, there's also, like, the family. I know, right? Exactly. So my grandfather, my dad's dad, is a retired pastor. And the church he worked at for the longest time, I think they still do it, Augustana Lutheran, if you're listening, let us know. as a church where I was baptized. But they did a Santa Lucia competition celebration every year. And there was, like, you know, little Lucy's, big Lucy's, the whole thing.
Right.
And we always grew up at Christmas talking about Santa Lucia. I have, like, Santa Lucia ornaments that, like, my mom still has, I think. Because I'm the oldest granddaughter. I'm the first granddaughter on that.
So you got all the baby pictures.
Exactly. So I'm the first grandbaby on that side, but I'm also the oldest granddaughter. So, like, by tradition, I was the Santa Lucia of our family, right?
Right.
And the story we always told was that, and again, this is one of those legends where, like, the facts are murky, so it is clearly legend. But anyways, at some point in Santa Lucia's life, there was some cause of oppression, whether it was war, evil spirits, and so people had to go into hiding. And so she would go around out of the goodness of both her wealth and her Christian nature, her heart.
Yeah.
She would go around with her crown of candles, which would light the night when it was dark and she couldn't see where she was going. And she would feed them.
That one I also grew up with.
Totally. So, like, this whole idea of, like, where she started, I'd never heard that story.
Yeah.
Like, how she died, hadn't heard that story. Literally.
The fact that she was hanging around with St. Agatha?
None of that. Literally, the only story I knew about her is that there is a legend that she fed people in the dark of night who had to be hidden.
Right. Like, during a war or something.
Or some sort of oppression. Clearly, I did not know the entire woman's story, but I came in being like, oh, I know this story. I'm such an expert.
I wonder if there was a war at some point in her life, and that legend was just based off of one super specific section that I just didn't read about or didn't cover.
Totally could be. Yeah. Or it's entirely legend, and it's just kind of
fabricated.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's all a possibility, but I love that the stories still grab our attention.
Yeah.
And grab our imagination so that we're thinking about, like, what does it mean in our own lives to wear a crown of candles and to walk out? Whether it's to avoid evil spirits or to feed the hungry or both. Whether it's to visit people who are being oppressed or avoid possessed animals or both. Like,
Or avoid angry suitors who will tattle to the governor.
Exactly. Or avoid governors who will gouge our eyes out when we're dying. Like, you know, there's still lessons to be learned here, even if we think we know the story of Santa Lucia.
And I'm just gonna do my, like, what I admire about
Lucy. Yeah.
I, like, in all of the stories that I looked for and I read when I was doing this piece, she always died doing what she wanted. And, she died nobly, which I know it's like, well, it sucks that she had to die, period. I'm not negating that, but she was very, like, come to me. She didn't let up just because that was the easy option for her. Yeah. She didn't be like, okay, sorry, I'll stop being a Christian. I'll go marry this, like, mediocre guy or whatever and be a shut-up wife. She wanted to devote her life to giving to others in every single story that I read. And so I would hope that because that is the common theme, that is something that she actually reflected in her life.
Yeah.
Which I just find very admirable. Like, it in every lifetime, in every retelling, she just wanted to give to others just because she had.
Yeah.
And she wasn't afraid of what might happen to her. And in every single story, she did not let death or the imminent, you know, idea of death scare her into doing something different, which I admire.
Yeah, that's definitely admirable.
Yeah, for sure. She's very admirable.
Yeah.
Very kick-ass.
Amazing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to swear here, but
I think we'll let it slide. Yeah, it's no big deal.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, we are talking about God's saltiest women, so.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, so good. Man, I'm going to be thinking about Lucia now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be singing. There's even like a song that we would sing. But like Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia, da da da. Anyways, yeah. It's very like, very Italian, very old school. And it just always makes me think of Santa Lucia.
Yeah, but everyone and their Italian grandfather knows that one.
Yeah,
everyone exactly. and their Swedish grandfather knows that
also
one.
True.
Also true.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for bringing Santa Lucia. I feel
you're
like
welcome.
I learned something. Listeners, I hope you learned something about... Yeah.
Please go do your own Googling and make yes. sure that I got everything right, because I'm not even 100% sure. I'm just a student who likes to admire.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I think that's always the goal of this podcast, is to just pique people's interest enough to go do some more research yeah. on your own.
To go look for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just like, oh, we thought we knew the story and then we learned something else. You think you might know the story, but you yeah. might have something else to learn. So like,
yeah,
go learn something.
Maybe yeah. there's another legend that we don't know about.
Yeah. Maybe there's, I mean, I don't know the Italian stories of her at all. I don't know the Swedish ones, so.
Yeah.
Did she have blonde hair? Did she have braids? Did she wear them in a crown with candles? I don't know.
Yeah. What we'll did she out. Look like? What exactly. did she do?
Exactly. Yeah. So, anyways, may this be an invitation to not let anyone tell you what to do or how to live your life, but to just go and learn and live and love. Just like, and serve.
And give.
And yes. give. Just like Lucia did.
Exactly.
Amazing. Well, thank you all for being here today for another fabulous episode of Mystify, God's Saltiest Women. We heard about a very salty one today, and it is so good. I feel like just salt of the earth salty.
Yes.
Just like serving, getting down into it, mm-hmm. getting in the muck, even with like a beautiful, pristine candle crown on
exactly.
her head.
Exactly.
Somehow. So may we all feel encouraged to get into the muck and to be light for the whole world.
Exactly. And happy very, very, very early Santa Lucia Day.
This is right. Happy very early Santa Lucia Day. Take care, everyone. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.